of advocates are pushing back on a provincial bill targeting encampments and the consumption of drugs in public spaces. Members of the Encampment Justice Coalition put forward a letter last Thursday to Ontario Premier Doug Ford asking him to withdraw the bill. The bill in question is Bill 6, the Safer Municipalities Act, which will give police more power to arrest anyone who's in possession of an illegal substance in a public place. This includes a tent in a park or on public property. If passed, individuals can receive fines up to $10,000 or face up to 6 months in prison. Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Rob Flack, says municipal leaders have asked for more tools and support to end encampments and public illegal drug use in Ontario. This bill is giving municipalities these tools. Minister Flack told reporters Ontario families deserve to feel safe.
We just don't think it's right or fair for people to be able to go to a park or a public space and not feel safe. If we didn't act this way, you know, kids could be stepping on needles in parks. Families going to a public park are feeling fear instead of having fun or having enjoyment. Parents aren't accepting this. Our government isn't accepting this. So we're acting. We're investing in not, you know, and it's just not getting rid of encampments. That's part of it in public spaces, but it's giving people that helping hand up, and that's where the investment's continuing to go and will continue to grow.
Along with Bill 6, the province also announced last week they're investing $75.5 million to provide alternative accommodations for those living in encampments. There are currently 283 encampments in Toronto as of March 14th. This data was revealed in a letter to council in response to one councillor's administrative inquiry. The City of Toronto defines one tent as an encampment. This is a 20% increase compared to last year, with many encampments tucked into ravines or more isolated corners of the GTA. Province says $50 million of that investment announcement will help to create just over 1,200 additional housing units, including over 800 long-term affordable and supportive housing units, and $20 million to create over 900 additional shelter and temporary accommodation spaces. But no locations have been determined yet. The letter calling for the bill's end is currently signed by 94 advocacy organizations across Ontario and four outside of the province in solidarity at last count. Met Radio made efforts to reach out to Minister Rob Flack to speak about the bill and what it entails for Toronto's residents. He declined that interview with our station. The Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing also declined to comment on the opposing letter at this time. Between rising rental rates, the loss of affordable rentals, and stagnating housing construction, one long-term community worker says Torontonians are already struggling to get by. And with American tariffs hurting the city's workers, she says the bill is endangering people's livelihoods.
It could be 300,000 people who will become homeless. That is astronomical. And I think at this point, it's not a what-if situation. We are facing most likely an economic downturn. People will lose their livelihoods, they'll lose their jobs, and by extension, they're going to lose their homes.
Diana Shan McNally has been a frontline community worker and homelessness advocate in downtown Toronto for the last 11 years. She says the bill is not what municipalities need right now, and it's not what Toronto needs right now. As a leader of the Encampment Justice Coalition, she joins Met Radio to tell us why she put the letter forward, why the bill does not have the best interests of unhoused folks in mind, and what the province could do better to address the city's housing and drug crisis. Here's our conversation. Hi, Diana. Thank you for coming on CJTM.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Diana Chan McNally, and I am a longtime community worker. I've been working frontline with homeless people for the past 11 years, but also doing a lot of work at the political level to make sure that they're represented and their rights are actually respected. So it's my whole wheelhouse, essentially.
Yeah, and what can you tell me about the Encampment Justice Coalition?
Yeah, I think I'm very excited about the fact that we have this coalition because it's something that we haven't seen before, especially in the homelessness space. So it is now over 90 organizations that are working across Ontario, and not just in housing and homelessness, but in lots of different intersecting sectors. So we have folks from public transit, for example, because we know there are a lot of homeless people who are now on transit. We have folks who are working on drug policy because there's a lot of intersection there with folks who use drugs. And so I'm just very excited that we have this now for the first time, broad group who are coming together to say that this idea of criminalizing encampments and people who are living outdoors, it doesn't work. It's wrong. It's expensive. And there is a better way. And that better way is affordable housing.
Okay, so I want to get into the letter a little bit and a little bit more about the bill. So let's backtrack a little here. So the Encampment Justice Coalition submitted a letter to the Ford government on Thursday, asking the Ford government to rescind Bill 6, which is the Safer Municipalities Act. Could you walk me through what exactly the bill is calling for and why your organization is opposing it?
Yeah, the bill is something that was actually tabled in December, really. So the Ford government had brought this forward, but then they called an election. So the legislation, we call it dies on the floor, essentially. So it doesn't move forward and get passed into law. And I was hoping it wouldn't come back because I had been already doing quite a bit of advocacy around this, working with municipal councillors around the province, over 80 of them. From all over Ontario, who are saying this is not what municipalities need. This is not what homeless people need. We need resources and funding for shelters and housing, which I think is perfectly logical, makes sense. But they did bring back this bill. And what it does is that it basically targets people who are presumed to be using drugs. So there doesn't really need to be much of a burden of proof that they are, but they can use this to actually evict people immediately from their encampment. Which normally, municipal bylaws, you're supposed to give about 2 weeks. Now they can do it pretty much immediately. They can also arrest you, even though being homeless is not a crime. They can put you in jail for up to 6 months, or they can fine you $10,000, which any home, I don't have $10,000. Any homeless person, they would not have $10,000. This would not be an affordable fine for them. And the worst part is, all of those things can actually happen at the same time. So you can be arrested, jailed, and fined, and then lose feasibly all of your belongings all in one go. So, we're deeply concerned about this kind of legislation because it's saying that the response to homelessness should be to treat people like they are criminals. When again, really what we need is affordable housing. Housing is the only solution ultimately to homelessness.
Multiple organizations have signed this letter. As of today, there are a total of 91 organizations across Ontario opposing the bill. A number of Toronto groups stand out, the Toronto Alliance to End Homelessness, Toronto Indigenous Harm Reduction, and more. We are a local Toronto station. How do you see Toronto residents in the face of this?
Our homelessness crisis in Toronto is the most pronounced of anywhere in the province. Now, it is everywhere in the province. There is no community that I've ever talked to, and this includes very rural communities in northern Ontario, for example, even middle of Ontario. They have encampments. Burlington, which is not a place where if you've ever been there, is not a place you would presume that there would be outdoor encampments, but there are. But at the same time, Toronto's homelessness crisis is completely out of control. And it's not just looking at the number of people who are outdoors or even the number of people in shelters right now. There are folks who are invisible homeless, which means that they are staying with folks on their couches wherever they can, which isn't necessarily a very safe environment for them. And we know that the shelter system itself, yes, it has about 12,000 spaces, but over 20,000 people a year cycle through that shelter system. So our homelessness crisis is beyond what is seen anywhere else in Canada, actually, and even more than Vancouver. So when you see a lot of representation from Toronto specifically, I think it's a reflection of the fact that this is very much a key issue in the city of Toronto. I think of when the city actually went through its budget process and they did consultations with people filled out the survey, and 67% of Torontonians said that the number one issue that they wanted to address was actually housing and homelessness. So it's on everyone's minds. Again, we know that there are folks outdoors, but like I said, we have TTC riders involved. They're a transit advocacy organization. This is not exactly their purview. We have the Toronto Alliance to End Homelessness because we have concerns about climate change on folks who are homeless, for example, and the environmental impact of homelessness being unchecked. We have plastics, we have all kinds of things that are being generated that don't need to be if we actually address this problem.
Yeah, in sort of speaking about maybe all the things that are causing stress for Toronto residents, with tariff threats still very much on the forefront of people's minds, do you think that there is more at stake than there was back in December when the bill was first introduced?
I absolutely think there is. Now, it is not to say that, our homelessness problem is manageable as it is. We know that in 2024, 80,000 people across the province became homeless in that year. But what really concerns me is that the report that gave us that statistic, which was the Association of the Municipalities of Ontario, they're all 444 municipalities, and they produced a report. And it wasn't just the 80,000 in 2024. It's also the fact that they're predicting that if we have an economic downturn, it could be 300,000 people who will become homeless. That is astronomical. And I think at this point, it's not a what if situation. We are facing most likely an economic downturn, largely because of Trump and these tariffs. There's a lot of uncertainty, and it's going to get worse. People will lose their livelihoods, they'll lose their jobs, and by extension, they're going to lose their homes. So the fact that we're putting out this kind of legislation that says if you don't have a home, you must be a criminal, understanding that we're dealing with Trump, and this economic crisis. It seems ludicrous to me and completely short-sighted about what real people are experiencing right now.
I want to on the topic of what real people are experiencing right now with supervised consumption sites now shut down, are people with this bill sort of coming in, people, homeless people who are using drugs, are they at greater risk?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, this bill is really kind of targeting folks who do use drugs. Again, it's a presumption. You don't have to have the proof that the drugs are really there. It's just reasonable grounds, which is fairly flexible. But if you are somebody who uses drugs, and a lot of people do, if you are out on the street, it is endless trauma. It's 24/7 trauma that you're dealing with, and there are no supports for you out there. So you have to find your own supports, which, if you're not finding that in community or it's just simply not enough, a lot of people do turn to things like drugs. I think it's a perfectly logical response that all kinds of people, regardless of their housing status, they turn to this when they are going through hard times. Now, that said, it's like we've just shut down supervised consumption sites. And now we're saying that if you're using drugs in public, we're going to punish you. You just took away the service that people could actually go to. We already have lots of people dying because of toxic drugs. You're going to see a lot more people dying, and you're going to see a lot more discrimination as well.
The language we were talking about that's used in this bill when we're talking about the public consumption of illegal drugs, that's a large part of what the bill says they're responding to in terms of safety concerns. They said they're protecting parks and public spaces, keeping community members safe. How do you respond to those residents who are concerned, who don't feel safe bringing their kids to their local park or walking home alone at night, that this bill is responding to?
Unfortunately, it doesn't actually respond to the problem. And if we look at the policies that are embedded in Bill 6, so the Safer Municipalities Act, these are actually policies that are endorsed and currently enforced by Donald Trump and his administration. So they've just carried out the largest mass eviction of homeless people in all of North American history, in Oregon. This just happened this week, as a matter of fact. And what we've seen, and it's interesting because you would think, police would be like, yes, let's respond in this way. In the US, police departments are actually pushing back against this because what's happening is that they're spending more and more and more of their resources on something that is a social problem, not a criminal problem. And it means that their clearance rates, their ability to solve actual serious crimes, is declining rapidly. At the same time, it costs more because you have these ballooning police costs. But if you don't have housing for people, there is nowhere for them to go. So, what happens, what I would say to folks who are just like, this seems like a good response, what you're going to see is that people might be kicked out of the park for the day. They're going to end up in another park, and that park might be closer to a school, might be closer to your home. It is not actually going to solve the problem of people visibly living outdoors. It's just going to move the problem around, and your property taxes are going to go up because of it.
You mention your concern for residents, and you mentioned already without equitable access to safe, affordable housing, those who don't have emergency shelter options. Either it's May, the weather's getting warmer, seasonal, 24-hour respite centers are closed now. There's a lot of language in the bill about helping those facing addiction and mental health challenges as well. What is the path forward here if this bill isn't the solution?
I mean, it's what I would say is you have to invest in what we call upstream solutions. So social determinants of health. Now, I know that's like very like, what does that mean? It means things like housing. It means things like having a livable income. It means having access to health services when you need them without having to pay. And all of these things are actually being eroded by this government, and we're actually starting to privatize. What people ultimately need, yes, is affordable housing. This is not rocket science. We've known this. It's been proven by evidence, what we call housing first policies, for decades now. You can look at Finland, for example, and you've seen that they've made massive impact on homelessness because they've had this policy of just giving somebody housing. Again, if you're just going to criminalize people, again, you might just move them around to another park, but are you going to move people into prison? Is that the solution? Because one, again, homelessness is not a crime, but two, it is a lot more expensive to put a person in prison than it is to put them in affordable housing. And in fact, in Ontario and Canada, in 2023, it cost over $130,000 a year to put one person in prison. If we're talking about 80,000 people across the province at least who are cycling through homelessness, it could grow to 300,000. You do the math of what that's actually going to cost everybody, and it won't actually solve the problem because when people get released out of jail, again, they don't disappear. They're back out on the street, they're back in the park. You need to build housing. You need to make sure that people have a decent income. The majority, frankly, of people who are homeless that I've worked with are on provincial social assistance and they can't afford rent on that. You have to increase that income, and you have to actually find ways to bring rents down. Because when you talk about affordable housing, that's a big part of it, is that we don't actually have full rent control in Ontario. And this is actually putting fuel on the fire of the problem that, even if there are vacant units available, who's got $2,000 to rent them? It's just not reasonable for me, even, or for you, let alone somebody who is struggling and out on the street.
Diane, I want to thank you so much for coming on CJTM and sharing your insights and thoughts.
Oh, thank you again. It is my pleasure. And, folks, if you want to get involved, we do have a petition. If you want to tell the Ford government, this is not okay. We need to provide housing for people. Please join in our coalition and our movement because I think there is a better way.
Thank you so much, Diana. That was Diana Shan McNally, a longtime community worker with the Encampment Justice Coalition. If Bill 6 passes, the coalition says it will shift its focus to challenging the legislation in court. This is Mia Johnson with the Local Journalism Initiative. Music for this episode produced by Robert Johnston.